Well, everyone, welcome to Chicago Sports Network. I'm your host, Rykley Ruby, and today we are going to be getting into our MLB predictions as you are getting ready for the MLB season, as the 2022 season will get off without a hitch and be 162 games, as I think everybody can be happy about that, as the lockout is now over. So we are going to have a quick word from our sponsors and then get straight into our AL predictions, then head into our NL predictions, and then a couple of awards. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that content and stick around. And we are back with our video. So whether you are listening on the podcast or on the YouTube channel, make sure that you are subscribed and following. So let's get started with today's video. With the AL East in fifth place, as we are going from fifth to first, I have the Baltimore Orioles. Even though the Baltimore Orioles have a lot of good pieces, that includes players that are upcoming, like Adley Rutschman, or players like Trey Mancini or Cedric Mullins or stuff like that, they have solid players, and maybe they're going to start to build around in the next couple of years. But as of right now, you do not have the pieces to compete whatsoever with the top four, which is really, really good. There's a big gap between the Orioles and the rest of the division. In fourth place, with the controversial pick of the day, I have the New York Yankees. The fourth place Yankees are a team with a lackluster offseason. Teams like the Toronto Blue Jays spent a lot of money. The teams like Minnesota Twins, the Texas Rangers, and that's just in the AL alone, spent lots of money, yet the Yankees sat on the rear end and picked up Josh Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Those aren't major moves, and now at a little bit of a loss of where the Yankees will go next offseason with Aaron Judge's contract coming up, with players like Anthony Rizzo not coming up this next year, but in 2 years, what do you do with that first base position? Stuff like that. You're still probably looking for a little bit more left-handed hitting, but we'll see where they go from there. But this is a fourth place team, even though you have some solid pitching and some solid bats. The problem is, the Yankees just don't show up when it's time to show up. So I'm going to put them in a place where teams don't show up, which is a fourth-place team. The third-place team was going to be my fourth-place team until the Trevor Story pickup, and that is the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox have some solid arms at best in the rotation. You have Chris Sale now going to be fully healthy, hopefully this upcoming season. You have some other arms there that you could use, but mainly it's the offense that you're looking at, with stars like Xander Bogaerts and Trevor Story starting off the lineup, and then working your way from there. This team is solid. It's not great, and I could see them getting a wild card spot with the expanded playoffs. The only problem with that is this is a possible team where maybe the Yankees beat them out. This is one of the picks where I'm like 3-4. It's pretty close because I think that there's a big difference between them and the Tampa Bay Rays. I said my second place team, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays. But either way, to finish off with the Red Sox, they have some solid pieces, but I'm looking for a little bit more pitching and a little bit more development of the rest of the lineup outside of those guys in order to really make a run at the crown in the AL East. In second place, I have, like I said, the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays just seem to get it done at year in and year out and have won the division for the past 2 years. But can they win it for a third year? It's unlikely, and it's going to be extremely difficult. So the Rays, their struggles would consist of major star power, something that they've lacked because they just don't spend a lot of money. But they still have a solid lineup. They play the matchups like no one's business. And they will continue to be a solid team. The problem with them is that the team in first place, which is the only team left to rank, the Toronto Blue Jays, went out and got some major, major star power this offseason, and including the trade deadline last time. You have guys like Yusei Kikuchi. You have guys like José Berríos that you got in the trade deadline. And then you obviously have the big pickup of Matt Chapman via the trade market with the Oakland Athletics in their fire sale this offseason. That is a major pickup, and you're going to want to remember Matt Chapman for later in the video when I pick some awards. Heading into the AL Central, in fifth place, we have the newly named Cleveland Guardians. Here's the reason why I have the Guardians. Guardians have some solid pitching, yet led by Shane Bieber. Problem is, I think it's likely, I know this is maybe a different take, but I think it's likely that they move on from a guy like Shane Bieber or a Jose Ramirez because they haven't given him contracts yet. And when are they going to give him contracts? Like they gave the contract to Francisco Lindor. There was no contract to be seen in that situation. I don't expect it in this situation. So I expect them to maybe start trade off some more pieces and look towards more of the future. So I have them ending up in fifth place. A team that is trending towards the future is the Kansas City Royals, with players like Bobby Witt Jr. coming up. And, well, obviously, you still have Whit Merrifield, a solid rotation with Zach Greinke coming over. More reason I mentioned him was just because that he ended his career in Kansas City. I assume he will retire after this deal. Maybe he'll sign one more deal with the Royals, but outside of that, I think he is done. And then heading on to third place, and here's what separates these two teams, and that's why I didn't stay on the Royals for too long. But here's what separates these two teams. I think AJ Hinch is a really good manager, and I don't think the Royals have as good of a leadership complex with their organization compared to the Tigers, because I think AJ Hinch is a really good manager. And well, Mike McCarthy, not so much. I was double checking that to make sure I didn't say that out of turn. But Mike McCarthy is right now the Royals manager, and I just never liked him with the Cardinals. Never a great manager. Never really successful. Definitely didn't have any playoff success. But they have solid talent, so I think they'll be ahead of the Royals, but behind the Tigers, who brought in some major star power again this offseason with people like Javi Baez. Then you added solid bullpen help like Andrew Chafin. You added a couple other minor pieces there that could really increase this team's chances of maybe sneaking into the postseason with that kind of deal. So, on to my number two pick. It's the Minnesota Twins. And the reason why I have the Minnesota Twins here is whenever the Minnesota Twins aren't expected to do good, they play well, and that seems to be every other year. And well, this seems to be their year. They're not expected to play well, and well, screw it. I'm picking the Twins to be second. I know it may seem stupid logically, and I cannot give you a logical reason, even though you have some solid pieces in the addition of Carlos Correa. I really like the contract for both sides in particular. You still have pieces. The problem is, the biggest problem is that do they really, are they consistent enough? Are they consistent enough? And that's the reason why I don't have them winning the division, like the team in first place, which you all should know by now, is the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox are a dynamic team, and right now, the heads of Chicago. The D Cubs dominated the city for about 5, 6 years, and then the White Sox have now taken over that crown the past year to 2 years with major additions like Craig Kimbrel. You still have that duo between him and Liam Hendricks. You also have the dynamic rotation, even though you do not have Carlos Rodon anymore, it's still a dynamic rotation. And then obviously you have the star power of young guys like Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, or you have guys that are a little bit older like Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu. So heading on to the AL West. The West consists of one team that is an absolute dumpster fire of their own making. That's the Oakland Athletics. The Oakland Athletics are just a dumpster fire right now, not because they're terribly run. It's not that. They're pretty well run. Just watch the movie Moneyball. but you just got rid of everyone that has a name that is known by at least more than three people. You got rid of Matt Chapman. You got rid of Matt Chat, or not Matt Chat, Matt Olson. You got rid of pretty much everyone. I think you got rid of Sean Manaea, I think it was, and a couple other players. I think you let Sean Murphy go to free agency. I don't know where he went now that I can think about it off the top of my head. But you have a bunch of other players there that just kind of left. So you just don't have a lot going on there. Number four, a team that did the exact opposite of the A's, which added a quite amount, a quite massive amount of star power and put a lot of cash on the table for this offseason that included Marcus Semien and Corey Seager, two of the biggest contracts that nobody's really thinking about right now because, well, they happened 3 months ago when nobody was thinking about free agency. Or not after this lockout, nobody was thinking about free agency. And remembering the Rangers signed a bunch of players for a lot of money. I think it was an estimate that I think they spent over $1 billion on contracts this year. That's insane. So they are going to be a improved team. Yes, improved. But not a great team. The problem with saying they're a great team is that, well, they don't have enough pitching. You had a injury to their best prospect, Josh Jung, so that's a little bit of a disappointment. And plus the third place team has like literally the top two players in baseball. And the third place team is, as you probably know, the Los Angeles Angels, who include Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Both of those players are just absolutely fantastic players that have the dynamic ability not only in the field or hitting for Shohei Ohtani, he also has the pitching ability. But they're just tr they're true five tool, and Shohei Ohtani's a six tool player between the two, and I expect Mike Trout to be just fine coming back from the injury. So I expect no problems there. Problem is, they don't have a lot of pitching other than Noah Syndergaard. They just don't have the pitching. They never seem to figure it out. And I would love to see Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani make it to the postseason. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. Maybe with the expanded playoffs, you get the team in there, but not as of now. In second place, you have a team that just lost their one of the biggest free agents this offseason, and you know him as Carlos Correa, but his former team knows him as their teammate. That is the Houston Astros. The Astros are a dynamic team for a couple of seasons now, but are going to probably take a step back with the dynamic upcoming young players and a mixture of older players, and that's the Seattle Mariners, who I have winning the division. To talk about the Astros, mainly the big point is they don't have any trash cans to bang around anymore, so that's a big improvement for them. And then the Seattle Mariners, not to talk about Jose Rodriguez or Jared Kelnick or all that stuff, but you also have the free agent signings of Robbie Ray. It was probably a little bit disappointing not to get Chris Bryant, but you still have a massive addition, not only from young players this upcoming season, but also from free agents. So continue to watch out as the Mariners probably continue to play very well in that. So we're now going to transition to the NL, starting with the NL East. So let's start with the fifth place team now in the NL East, and that fifth place team is the Washington Nationals. I kind of feel bad for my friend Lincoln, who is a big Nationals fan, but this team is just not up to snuff. Even though you signed Nelson Cruz, you still have many losses throughout that entire team. So you just don't have it there altogether in order to really make a serious run at the NL East crown, who even has the reigning World Series champions in it, and a team that got massively better in the offseason, which is the New York Mets. In fourth place in the NL East, I have the young and improving Miami Marlins. The problem with the Marlins is they don't really have a bunch of pieces. They have a piece here or there. Their pitching staff is young and successful to a degree, but you're missing major bats. You're missing a solid ace, like a proven ace. You're missing a lot. I like the addition of Yoher Soler. solid player, pretty good overall, but you're still missing a lot of key pieces if you really want to truly contend right now. Heading into the number three team, that is the Philadelphia Phillies. I have the Philadelphia Phillies here because you did have some major improvements to this roster with people like Nick Castellanos. Just a big improvement to the roster. The only problem with that is that the Mets did more, and that's my second place team, the New York Mets. The reason why they're not first is because, good Lord Almighty, I have picked the Mets every single year to either be first or second, and they continue to disappoint me every single year. I can't put the Phillies ahead of them because the Phillies just, they have a very, very hard time winning games with such a lack of pitching outside of Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. I like that, but their defense is going to suck. Their pitching is not going to be great. So the problem is that even though the Mets have disappointed me every single year, stop doing it. I'm not going to pick you until you do it. So that, I think, is part of it. On to the first place team, which you know at this point is the defending World Series champions, the Atlanta Braves. Just put simply, even though you lose Freddie Freeman, in the long term, you may be better off with Matt Olson, to be honest. Even though Freddie Freeman was a substantial part of that organization, Matt Olson is a really darn good player. So I really liked the addition of him. So that is my pick for the NL East. Heading into the NL Central, in fifth place, I have the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds did a bigger fire sale than the state of California during a wildfire. That place was smoking by the end of it, with nobody left in town, other than maybe Luis Castillo. That's about it. And nobody wants Joey Votto, even if you gave them stuff for Joey Votto. The Reds, the Pirates at least have some young talent coming up. The Reds, good Lord, like I predicted in the 2020 season, with it only being 60 games, I didn't think you were going to succeed very much because I think you needed time to bond, and that's part of the reason why I said the Cubs would win the division, and they did. So if you want to take any word of mine for saying I am correct in some of my predictions, use that. But they just don't have the type of talent that this next team has, and that is the Pittsburgh Pirates. As upcoming talent, guys like Cabrian Hayes, Brian Reynolds has already solidified himself, but you have some solid pieces. The Reds, I think, are just going to continue to sell off, so I just think that they're going to finish in fifth place. And the Pirates, they have something to look forward to. I think they'll finish in fourth place and be a little bit happier rather than being the basement dwellers of the division another year again. In third place, I have my least favorite MLB team, the St. Louis Cardinals. Gives me great pleasure to put St. Louis Cardinals in third place. It would give me so much pleasure to put them in fifth, but I can't do that. There's a big gap between the fourth place team and the third place team, whoever that is in the reality. But there's a big gap between those. But the Cardinals, they just haven't seemed put it together. They don't have a great postseason record. They have an average regular season record. Just average. They're okay. They're nothing special. I don't think they're going to make the postseason this year. Maybe they make the wild card position it since there's an extra wild card slot. I doubt it. Maybe. I think it's probably going to be like three teams from the NL East, more likely, rather than a third team from the NL Central. So I have the Cardinals in third place. Team that's a little bit better than him because they're better at what they do, which is pitching. The Milwaukee Brewers with the three-headed monster still as a starting rotation of Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, and Freddie Peralta. So you have a great rotation still. The only problem is that, well, you're still massively lacking in any sort of bat. They call this thing a bat in baseball, and you're lacking it, Milwaukee. In 2018, you were lacking, I don't know, an ace. And I said, go and get an ace because you need an ace.
And this year I'm saying go get a bat, because you need not only one bat, you need two or three bats, because it's baseball. You need a lot. This isn't one position. This isn't the NBA where one position rules it all, or the NFL where if you have a great quarterback, an elite Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, it fixes most flaws. But just because you have an elite first baseman does not mean anything, or same for third base, center, left field, or whatever. It doesn't matter. You need multiple guys, and the Brewers don't have that. Without Christian Yelich performing at an MVP level, they don't even have star power on that team. But kind of gives away my first pick, and that is my Chicago Cubs. For the third straight year, I picked them to win the division. Been right one of the years. Let's see if I'm right this year. Wrong last year. Had the fire sale, so that didn't really help my cause. But with this year, I think that the Cubs could really go at it. The only problem is, for me, is that if this Cubs team isn't succeeding at the trade deadline, that my prediction is going to look stupid again, because they're going to trade off all their pieces and they're probably going to finish in third place rather than first, just because I don't think they're going to get worse than the Pirates or the Reds, but they will still be a third place team rather than a first place team. But I like the additions of Seiya Suzuki. I like all the bullpen moves they made. I won't get into individual ones because they made a lot. And then you also have around the diamond a pretty solid and interesting dynamic with the odd man out kind of either being Nico Horner or Nick Madrigal, depending on who is the permanent second baseman, which Madrigal, that's his only position. Horner can play a little bit more around the diamond. But if you have a Gold Glover and Andrelton Simmons, I expect you to use his Gold Glove at short. Use Patrick Wisdom either at third. You also have the addition of Jonathan Villar. So you have a lot of rotation guys that can move a lot of places around the diamond. And we'll see what happens to play people like Patrick Wisdom and Frank Schwindel that made big last year. Let's see if they can continue that. I'd really like to see what Patrick Schwindel does as he makes into career, hopefully, as a Cubs fan, what he has just amazed people with last year. Let's head into the final division of today's video. Fifth place, we're going to be quick with this one because there is not much to talk about. Fifth place, we have the Colorado Rockies. Fourth place, we have the Diamondbacks. And the reason why I wanted to combine those two is because the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are very similar. They both suck. They both don't have much of anything. The Rockies have Chris Bryant. The Diamondbacks have a couple of hitters here and there, just generally a little bit better than the Rockies lineup altogether, even though I like Chris Bryant better than any of the players on either of the rosters. But the pitching is what edges out for me. I think the Diamondbacks are going to get fourth place, but to be honest, I'm probably going to be look stupid, and the Rockies are going to be in fourth place by like 10 games. So just make me look stupid again and mess this one up. In third place, I have the defending NL West champs, the San Francisco Giants. It ain't going to happen again. The fountain of youth is over. That was a one-time thing. If that happens again, I will come and apologize on this video, on this channel, but that ain't going to happen again. So I expect that even though the Giants had a great season last year, the fountain of youth is drained. There's nothing left in it. So that is it for the Giants, I think. I think that they're going to have to change up a little bit of their strategy as they change in the next generation of players. Heading into the second place team, I have a team that was many people expected to do well last year, and that is the San Diego Padres. The Padres played well last year, but they did generally lack a cohesiveness as a team. But this year, I think with Yu Darvish hopefully bouncing back, or Blake Snell bouncing back, or just anybody in that rotation bouncing back, because good Lord, that rotation was awful. It was a flaming pile of garbage. The Rockies rotation in Coors Field looked better than the Padres rotation in San Diego looked. So yeah, that was a disaster. But the clear best team in baseball, and has been for quite some time now, the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win this division again. I just don't see anybody else barely competing. Unless if, like, I don't know, the Diamondbacks or the Rockies say, we're next in the fountain of youth. We will take this and win 107 games, take the NL West crown, and lose in the first round to the Dodgers. Either way, enough with the sarcastic comments.
But we're going to have a couple awards to hand out here. AL MVP from me goes to Matt Chapman of the Toronto Blue Jays, just like Josh Donaldson did, going from Oakland to the Blue Jays as a third baseman. MVP this year, calling it. AL Cy Young, a former Blue Jay, heading to the West Coast this time, going to Seattle Mariners. AL Cy Young will be Robbie Ray. And I'm just going to do those two. I'm not going to do Rookie of the Year because I have not looked into many of the upcoming rookies. I'd probably give it in the AL to Adelai Rutschman just because he's Rutschman. He just is awesome. In the NL MVP race, I have Ronald Acuña Jr. I think that the Braves are going to be a successful team. That's generally what they look for. I could see a possible candidate of Seiya Suzuki if the Cubs actually do get this first place and play as well as I think they do. Or if Patrick Swindell, not Patrick Swindell, combining the two names, if Frank Swindell actually is able to extrapolate those numbers from last year, yeah, he most definitely will be the MVP of the league, but I don't think that will happen. And then NL Cy Young is just clearly, it's clearly Jacob DeGrom. Unless if Jacob DeGrom falls off the face of the earth, he has pitched so well these last couple of years. I just expect him to win it. But good Lord, I just hope I'm not the team that has to face Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer in the playoffs. That is going to be awful. Awful. But as always, make sure you hit that subscribe button down below. It's been a half an hour long video. So please like this video if you enjoyed it. Comment your thoughts and opinions. No matter whether it's mean or nasty or nice or you enjoy the video. Please, it really helps in the YouTube algorithm if you comment down below, especially since you've already watched 26 minutes of me. As always, have a great day. Bye, guys.